It's KUOW 94.9 Seattle. I'm Bill Radke. Look! Up in the air! It's a bird! It's a plane! Oh, no, that's a cat. Stuck up in a tree.
It's a cat, yeah.
A cat.
In the Pacific Northwest, we have a big problem high up in our giant trees.
Every year, hundreds of cats are looking for someone to save them.
I'm Sean.
And I'm Tom.
We're two guys that love cats.
Hi, Dar Dar.
We practically speak cat.
Meow. Sophie.
This isn't just a job, this is something we need to do.
Okay.
Oh, geez, don't fall, please.
That is Sean Sears and Tom Otto on their Animal Planet show, Treetop Cat Rescue. Their Woodinville company, Canopy Cat Rescue, is on target to rescue almost 6,500 cats this year. Tom is probably 100 feet up in a Doug fir right now. I don't know, but Sean is with me in the studio. Hi.
Hi, how's it going?
Great
Thanks
to meet
me.
You. Thanks for coming in and telling the story. Why? First of all, there's so many things I want to know. I've got one cat myself. Why does a cat climb a tree and just keep going up and up?
Yeah, well, I mean, we could talk about this topic all day long.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, how much time do we have?
We'll see.
But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of falsehoods about cats and trees out there, and Tom and I have sort of found ourselves on this stage sort of screaming at the top of our lungs that most of what people think or know about cats and trees is false. And so, you know, we're on pace to do, you know, 470 rescues this year. Since we started our company in 2009, we're, you know, well over 2,000 rescues, you know, cats from trees. Mm-hmm. And what a lot of people don't realize is that when a cat climbs a tree, they're having to make a split second choice. Am I going to get eaten or climb this tree?
They're running from something.
They're running from something. They're not just climbing this tree. Hey, what's up there? And, you know, in our area, lots of coyotes, lots of loose dogs, lots of cats, lots of raccoons. We see one of two things most often. We see a family with a house that lives right on the edge of a green space, a park, a forest, where there's lots of coyotes and wildlife that comes into the neighborhoods and preys on small animals. We see that, and we see a heavily segmented neighborhood with tall fences and dogs on each corner of the fences.
So if your cat keeps getting stuck in a tree, it might be having some trauma that you didn't know about.
Right, and it's probably time to have some sort of behavioral change. And so that's another thing that we do is we educate people, okay, if your cat's running into issues outside, it's probably time to keep them indoors. We've had countless people, you know, say, you know, message us on our Facebook page. Hey, do you remember Fluffy that you rescued 6 months ago?
Of course, you remember every single one.
Every single one. Well, Fluffy never came home one day, and our neighbor found a pile of white fur in her backyard.
Oh.
So it's one of those things. It's not a lesson that the cat learns. It's a lesson that the owner learns. If you value your cat, you know, love this little precious furry ball, you know, make some behavioral changes. If it's getting caught in a tree, you know, maybe once, maybe give it another shot. But if they're running into issues outside, it's time to keep them indoors. Indoors is definitely the safest spot for cats. However, 25-30% of our calls are indoor-only cats that escape outside, and then they're just like a fish out of water.
But they don't just run for trees. Even they're running from something.
Right, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Yep.
The other half of my question was, once they're in a tree, why do they keep climbing?
Right, and that's a super popular question.
You're safe, Fluffy. You did it.
Yeah, you did it. And a lot of times they climb up to
Take your winnings.
Exactly.
Quit while you're ahead.
Exactly. Cats' claws are shaped like fish hooks. And so it's really easy for them to climb up. It's very difficult, though not impossible, for them to climb down. Oh. And so those fish hooks, you know, boom, they climb right up these tall evergreens that we have here in Washington State. It's the evergreen state. We have lots of those trees.
Yes.
These trees act as natural escape routes for stressed out cats. And so it's
why,
really,
especially evergreen trees?
That
they're really big?
Really, you know, probably especially evergreen trees. It's tougher for them to climb slick bark trees like a madrone or alder,
right,
even though they sometimes do climb those. But, you know, you look at the bark difference between those types of trees and like a fir, hemlock, cedar, it's really easy for them to get a purchase on those trees.
Yeah, I can see that.
But why they climb up and don't climb down is, you know, it's really easy for them to climb up. They get up, they're in a safe spot. They're like, okay, I just escaped death. I'm probably not going to climb down. Sometimes they do. Sometimes folks call us and the cat's literally been stuck for like 5 minutes. And we're like, you know, you might want to give them a little bit of time. Sometimes they can figure it out. But it's not one of those things where they're just going to casually saunter down the tree when they get hungry. Tom and I have both rescued cats that have been stuck up in trees for 15, 16 days.
Do you think that they're staying in the tree because they, as you just said, they got chased up by a predator and that's still in the, I don't know how smart cats are.
They're like,
are they smart. Really?
Very smart.
So they're staying up there because they know what's at the bottom.
Right. And those two big circumstances that I mentioned earlier, you know, a family on the edge of a green space, you know, a big park or whatever where there's coyotes or things like that, and then this heavily segmented neighborhood with tall fences and dogs. If there's dogs roaming around in the base of the tree and just waiting, you think the cat's going to climb down? No, no.
I never thought of that. Don't just call you. Yep. Clear the base of the tree.
Exactly. Yeah. And we've come across situations where, you know, it's in a very rural area and we're tromping through the brush and in the back of this forest, and then the folks are like, "Yeah, see, there's my cat in the tree," and then out pops a coyote from the base of the tree.
Yeah.
You know, they'll mark the base of the tree with feces and urine and things like that to sort of persuade the cat from not climbing down. But, you know, we always say anything is
possible. Wait a minute, they don't want the cat to climb down?
Right.
Why not? I would think they want their dinner to come back.
Well, that's partially true, but, you know, they're sort of just marking their territory.
Yeah.
We've even heard stories of bobcats going up after cats in trees. You know, the big piles of raccoon feces or coyote feces or dog feces at the base of the tree, like, haha, I just did this. You know, I'm going to wait for this guy to come down. When and if he does, you know, it's a free meal for me.
So bobcats don't recognize their own and stay away from little cats.
No,
not at all.
No, they will. They will totally go after him.
I have so many more questions, cat rescue questions, for Sean Sears. He and Tom Otto are on this Animal Planet show, Treetop Cat Rescue, and they're local. Mm-hmm. Their company is Canopy Cat Rescue, and they're based in Woodinville, and they operate all around Western Washington, right? Yep.
Yeah. I live in Woodinville. My partner, rescue partner Tom, lives in Olympia.
Olympia, yeah.
And
so cover a lot of ground.
That enables us to service a huge area. Like after this interview, I'm heading up to Whidbey Island for a cat in a tree.
Wait a minute. There's a cat in the tree and it's waiting for
it's
you
waiting
to
for
get
me.
This interview done?
Yep.
Great. That's a high guilt factor for every question, every follow-up I ask you.
Yeah.
Fluffy is still up there.
Yep, Fluffy's still, he's waiting.
Do you feel okay about continuing this conversation?
I do.
I'm trusting you.
Yep.
I got, like I said, a lot of cat rescue questions. I just very briefly, what made you, how did you come to found this company? What made you think this is going to be a going, happening concern?
Well, you know, both Tom and I really love cats. You know, we've loved and owned cats the better part of our entire lives. And so, you know, back in the late 2000s, we had our own tree service. We did very specialized stuff for the Department of Fish and Wildlife. And in any established tree sort of business, you're going to get called for things in trees, whether it's cats, drones, helicopters, balloons, you name it. And so
you could have been a drone rescue company.
Totally
you could branch out into that. Who knows?
Exactly,
but you
went
for cat.
But there's the sympathy isn't there for drones unless it's a very, very expensive drone.
No drones are named Fluffy.
Exactly.
Yep.
And so, you know, established tree sort of business, you get called for things in trees. And so we'd start out with just like maybe 1-2 calls a month. And so back then we had our own fee, you know, whether it was $75 or $150. And so we started to, you know, get more and more calls. And then we started to witness this sort of little phenomena where, you know, we would tell folks a price and then they'd be like, wow, all right, let me call you back. And then Tom and I were just like, wait a minute, there's a reason they're not calling us back. And so a lot of people can't afford your standard fee to have an arborist climb up a tree to rescue a cat. So Tom and I clued in on that a long time ago, and that was sort of our aha moment. We were like, you know what? Let's do this on a donation basis. If folks want to donate to us, great. Otherwise, if they can't afford it, we're going to help them for free.
How much do they typically end up donating to you?
You know, I mean, we've gotten cherry and apple pies. We've gotten, like, you know, Starbucks gift certificates. We've gotten everything under the sun for donations. But, I mean, typically, you know, it's $50, $75, $100. People will donate to us. But, you know, some folks that are on a fixed income, you know, they'll they'll give us $5-$10.
What were you charging them before? What were you trying to charge?
It really depended on how far we drove. Yeah. $75 to $100.
Okay.
Depending on how far we had to drive. But obviously that changed quickly. Because Tom and I have really big hearts for cats, but we also have really big hearts for people as well. And so, you know, we sort of think about this as saving the cat, but really we're saving the family as well. You know, they're in this incredibly stressed out situation where they're calling everybody that they think would help in this situation. Folks call us and they're like, I've tried everybody. I've called the police. I've called animal control. I've called my vet.
What about fire department?
And every single person that they call just like, ha ha, we don't do that.
Fire department will tell you no?
No, they will not.
I didn't know that. That's like a Norman Rockwell picture I have.
And that's one of those things that we try to educate folks on is that, no, the fire department will not help you. Now, there are the rare circumstances where the fire department will. Now, if you call the fire department and they're, you know, ask them if they do cat and tree rescues, they're not going to do it. You know, but recently there was a Seattle rescue that I couldn't get for a couple of hours, and the fire department was driving by, and the cat was only up like 20 feet. And this lady flagged down the fire department. She was like, can you guys help us? And they were like, eh, all right. But
could you tell the fire department there's a fire in your tree?
Right.
And then if they investigate, you say, oh, I guess right. I was wrong. I guess that was my cat.
No.
While you're up there.
No. So generally, no, they don't help with cats and trees. But the interesting thing is that people have gotten so desperate in this situation where they're like, okay, my cat's up in the tree. Nobody's helping me. I'm going to climb it. And then they get up there and get in a very unsafe situation. And then the fire department will come out and save you, but leave your cat in the tree.
No, really?
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow, fire department drawing bright lines.
Right. Yeah, okay. And, you know, like, you know, obviously, you know, we're not here to talk bad about firefighters. I had like two of my best friends are firefighters. We have family in the fire service, so we're very aware of what their job entails.
But they're highly species conscious.
That's right. Fact. You know, the thing is that they don't want to have their big boom truck up into a tree rescuing a cat and then get a house fire call with six kids in the basement.
Yes, fair enough.
And so that's where they sort of draw the line. And you know, a lot of times they'll give out really great information. Like a lot of local fire departments will say, okay, there's these guys locally that are pretty well known for getting cats out of trees. Call them. Some of them will give out bad information like, oh, just leave food at the base of the tree. That thing will climb down when he gets hungry. You've never seen a cat skeleton in a tree. And then they'll hang up.
Food at the bottom of the tree. Yeah. What? Well, you just said that it's probably was chased up there.
Right.
Is the raccoon going to eat that food
exactly.
at the bottom of the tree?
And so that's one of the big things that Tom and
What if I'm standing vigil, though? I'm there, and yeah. I have Kitty's favorite food at the bottom right. of the tree. Is that okay?
And it's probably not going to make a big difference. Yeah,
far away.
Yeah, and I mean, like I told you earlier, we've rescued cats that have been stuck for 15, 16 days.
Yeah.
You think those guys are hungry?
Right.
They're real hungry. I have a cat at home. He gets hungry after 3 hours.
Yeah, that's true.
And so generally, food at the base of the tree is only going to attract more predators to the base of the tree. And the cat's going to see that, and they're going to be like, oh, geez, why do they put food down there?
Right.
It's not helping anything.
That's right. That's why I'm 100 feet
yeah.
up.
And so then they're like, ugh. They're just seeing these animals at the base of the tree just gnaw on some food. They're just like, that wasn't a very good idea.
And humans are stupid.
Right.
We're talking about cat rescue with an expert. Sean Sears and Tom Otto have the Animal Planet Show Treetop Cat Rescue, and their company, Canopy Cat Rescue, is in Woodinville and Olympia. And so walk me through it. Somebody calls you mm-hmm. to say that Cassidy, my mm-hmm. personal cat, Cassidy's in a tree. What happens next? You show up and what?
Right. So, you know, it really all depends on, you know, we get this question a lot is how soon do we come on out? And it really depends on a lot of things. When we get the call, how long the cats have been stuck, the temperament of the cat, the location of the cat. All these sort of things we factor in as to when we come on out. Now, if it's a super friendly cat that's been stuck, you know, more than a few hours, 12 hours, maybe overnight, then we're coming out immediately. If it's a really skittish cat that doesn't like people, you know, we might give them a little bit more time because what we're worried about there is the cat jumping. Where is the cat? Is this tree in your yard? Is it in a neighbor's yard? Where is it? If it's in the neighbor's yard, it's likely that we're going to need to contact the owner of that property just to get permission to access the property. That's a huge thing. We don't want people to come home and be like, what's this guy doing up in my tree? But likely when we get the call, we respond the same day. You know, other things factor in, weather, how long is the drive, things like that. You know, if we're dealing with like a windstorm or thunder and lightning, you know, we're probably not going to be able to come out and climb a tree in those types of situations.
Okay, so once you get up to Cassidy,
yep.
Then what do you do?
So climbing the tree is another 3-hour conversation there, but generally...
Really? 3 hours?
Well,
you're an arborist. You're,
yeah. Okay, maybe 5 minutes.
Okay.
But generally how we climb the tree is we use a big slingshot or a weighted throw line.
Okay.
A lot of people assume that we're going to show up with the big spikes on the feet and just sort of saunter up the tree. And we'll use those if we absolutely have to. But generally, we climb the tree using non-invasive techniques where they're not going to hurt the tree. And so we'll shoot a line up in the tree with a big slingshot and then pull a rope up. And that's like our He-Man tool. You know, kids see that and they're just like, wow, I want one of those.
Does that sometimes just scare the cat down?
Sometimes it does.
Okay.
Yeah, anything's possible. Sometimes it scares them higher. Sometimes they go out
true.
On a limb.
Okay.
Sometimes
so
they'll hear the rustling of the branches above them. They'll be like, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
So we'll climb up, you know, pull a rope up, climb up the rope, and we'll get close to the cat.
Yep.
And, you know, that's sort of the critical moment there. And obviously it goes back to the temperament questions that we ask the folks, you know, is this cat a friendly cat? Does it like people? Is it afraid of men? What does it do like when strangers come over to the house? Does it run and hide? Does it come out and say hello? Those are going to be the huge questions that we ask, and that's going to sort of prepare us as to that first contact that we make with the cat.
Really? I didn't know it was that involved. So you've
yeah.
got all this information, and so how would you've just profiled Cassidy, and how do uh-huh. you use that information next?
Right. So the huge thing that's going to specify those differences is most of the time when we get up to the cat, we make friends with the cat, we let him smell us, we, you know, give him some chin scratches, and then, you know, we pick him up as you normally would a cat, and then we gently put him in a sack. And so if people ever watch our videos, they're going to be like, well, it wasn't very gentle that they put him in the sack. And sometimes it's not. I mean, sometimes it's a very split second decision where, okay, you need to go in the sack really quick because we need to get out of here.
You were in a tree. I mean,
right.
Yeah.
And so, you know, generally we put him in a sack and then we climb down and we have the owners put bring the kitty in the sack indoors, let him out of the sack.
But do you bring food in your hand?
Sometimes we bring treats, but generally they're not really excited about eating up in the tree.
Oh, okay.
They're just like, okay, get me out of here.
Right. Let's not overcomplicate this.
Right. Yeah. And so the huge distinction between, you know, a really friendly cat and a skittish cat is, all right, are we going to need this big, long net that we have? We have this net. It's like the size of a salmon net that we can put on long poles that will enable us to reach well over 25 feet beyond us. And so if a cat climbs to the very, very top of a tree or way out on a branch, we'll use this net to sort of scoop them up or maybe kind of usher them back to us to where we can successfully get them in a sack.
I'm scared hearing that because I'm picturing you like trying to grab it with a net or put a net over it, but it's on, you just said it was on a skinny little branch.
Yep.
How often do you get a cat fall?
Yeah, I would say probably 1 in 20 cats will jump or slip or fall out of the tree.
1 in 20? That's a lot when you're doing 5,000 a year.
Yep. Well,
or not 500 a year.
Yeah. It might get there.
Yeah.
It might get
there. Who knows?
Obviously, there's, again, with that risk, where there's other things to consider. Okay, what's at the base of the tree? Is there rocks? Is there concrete? Is it grass? Is it like 6 inches of cushiony beauty bark? And those things also factor in to how we prepare for the rescue. Now, if it's a skittish cat and we think it's going to jump and there's jagged rocks at the base of the tree, we're going to have like a team of people, neighbors and friends and family members of the cat hold sheets at the base of the tree to cushion his jump or fall out of the tree.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
So
friends and family members of the cat.
Yep.
And I kind of don't want the answer, but I feel like I kind of have to ask,
mm-hmm.
How often do you lose a cat?
You know, unfortunately, you know, we've rescued thousands of cats from trees and, you know.
Because mostly they land on their feet,
well,
as we all know, or do they?
Generally speaking.
Oh.
But then there's this ricochet effect where they jump out of the tree and then they come in contact with branches. And if you've ever seen the Price is Right game show, you know, there's this game called the Plinko, where they hit a little peg.
Oh, yeah,
and sort of
hang
off
it back. Yeah,
that's
yeah.
what happens. And
oh.
So cats don't always land on their feet. But yeah, I mean, you know, Tom and I unfortunately have lost two cats that have jumped and not made it. And
that's
so,
not bad.
Right. And so, you know, we sort of look at those as learning opportunities. And, you know, unfortunately, it's a risk.
You know what? We just have a couple minutes left. And I really don't want to end on that image.
Yeah.
So I want to ask, how can owners keep cats from climbing trees and getting stuck in the first place?
So number one is keep them indoors.
Yes.
If they don't,
that's what I do.
If they absolutely do not want to be indoors, there's these things called catios, which are these outdoor cat enclosures that people can make them as extravagant or as simple as they want. Basically, they're like sort of a glorified chicken coop. You know, they make this outdoor enclosure where the cat can be outside and safe and not be chased up a tree. There's other things as well, like putting your cat on a leash or, you know, getting them used to sort of walking on a leash. I sort of say, all right, if your cat is prone to running into issues outside, think of them like a dog and not a cat. All right. If they want to be outside, take them on outside, hang out with them. And then as soon as they're done doing whatever they need to do, pick them up and bring them back inside.
Yeah.
It's one of those things where if they're running into issues like climbing trees, you got to think about it. Keeping them and the trees separate, because if they are running into issues outside, it's going to be a continued problem. We've rescued one cat as many as 6 times from trees.
Yeah, we don't want that. Okay, we got to go. You ever rescue anything that's not a cat?
Wild birds, you know, get stuck on like kite string or fishing string. We've rescued those.
Iguanas,
parrots, pet birds.
Sean Sears, his company is Canopy Iguana Rescue. No, that's not true. Canopy Cat Rescue, which got famous with that Animal Planet program.
Yeah.
Woodinville and Olympia, and you're headed to Whidbey Island?
Whidbey Island.
Go. I cannot keep this cat waiting a second longer.
All right. Well, thanks for having me.
Hey, thanks for telling us all about it.
All right.
Good luck to you and that cat today.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. KUOW's The Record is coming right back.